Hello, everyone, and welcome to Devotional Life with Paul
and Jeannie.
We're happy that you're here with us because we're going to go see the Lord. Let's go right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to spend time with you. We want to see you in your word and in our sharing together. So, Lord, take over this time. Let it be pleasing to you. We want your direction for today. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name, and everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Okay, let's see where we're at. There is a caravan on its way to Egypt, which includes Jacob, Joseph's father, and all the brothers.
All the brothers and all their families. And in fact, Genesis 46:26 says, all the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt came from his body. Besides Jacob's sons were 66 persons in all.
My, my.
And the sons, and then you add in four more. And the sons of Joseph were born to him in Egypt were two persons. And then, of course, and then adds his wife. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. So okay. I was trying to think. So if you have 12 boys, they're married and they all have kids. I guess, you know, since he had, if you have a lot of kids, I mean, 12. If they each had 10 kids, that would be 120. So I guess that's not so far because at first I thought 70, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So if they had between 5 and 9 kids or whatever, they could easily come up with a
70.
But anyway, that's a lot.
Right.
That's
everybody.
It's a whole town. And then when they got to Egypt, verse 28, it says, then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen, because that's where Joseph said that they were going to settle at, or the head guy. What's his
Pharaoh.
Name? Pharaoh. He had said that your family can live in Goshen, which is the nicest part of the country. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot. I bet you he was excited. And went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel.
How do you make ready your chariot? You got to have an oil change or
new donkeys?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know, but he probably had it on standby.
And yeah, he was just like, maybe he got it wrapped or...
He says, get ready, we're going now. So he jumped on his chariot. He went up to Goshen to meet his father, Israel. And he presented himself to him. And he fell on his neck and wept.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me back up a little bit. Let's get the picture. So Joseph hears that his dad's coming. And he makes his chariot ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wonder where they meet. I wonder how far out. It's like Joseph couldn't wait to see his dad.
No, he was in a hot hurry to get there. Yeah, he was very excited.
He's probably whipping
day.
Those horses. Let's go!
And, you know, in 15, 20 years before this, he would have not had a clue any of this was going to happen. He probably gave up ever seeing his dad again. So this is a really wonderful reunion.
Yeah.
And not only to meet with his father, but to see all of his brother's family and everybody.
You know, we got some pretty good reunions that we're waiting on, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Your mom and dad. I'd love to see your mom and dad again. I can't wait to heaven. We see him again. My dad, my son Christopher.
Mm-hmm. Grandparents.
Grandparents, aunts and uncles. Oh, this is going to be sweet. The Lord makes that possible.
It's something really to look forward to. If you think about it from Jacob's side, I mean, he's excited to go there and obviously so they wouldn't starve and be able to see his son and all that. But he had to pull up stakes and move everybody. Can you imagine how much work that would have been? But just emotionally,
that's true.
To feel like you're going to go and live in the enemy's territory because you weren't supposed to be there in Egypt, but God's told him for now, this is where you're going to be and it's what I want you to do. But, you know, as a woman, I know if I ever have to pack up my house and get a van and trash cans and throw things away that I've collected over the years and move and then put roots down in a foreign place. That there's a lot of emotion going on with everybody.
Did you have a lot of emotions when we moved here?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
I lived 20 years in the other house. We had to get those huge trash things, you know, those two of them.
Well, we've been here over 20 years now.
That's true. Goodness. I like to stay in one spot. I don't like moving around. So yeah. I imagine the wives, the kids, everybody was excited and grateful to be able to go there. But there was a big life change. And I, you know, we have family dinners with our kids and grandkids. And yes. We have a 6-foot by 6-foot table here. And we like to have everybody sit around the table so we can eavesdrop and hear each other's conversations. Like, how do you do that with 70 people, you know?
It'd be one big table.
It'd be one big table. When somebody gets married and they have a wedding and everybody comes. So I think reunions and getting together with your loved ones are it's just fabulous.
It's the best. It's the best. Yeah. You know, you're right. When we have everybody over the house, there's, you know, I know you do this and I do this as well. You just kind of sit back and you just look around the table and you see the faces of the people that you love and that you pray for and that you want the best for.
You want to make sure they're okay. And so you're kind of watching their expressions and all that. Yeah.
You know, I do that at church too.
Yeah.
At church when we're all together, sometimes I'll just take a step back and I'll just look around the church and I'll see the people I know and love and that I've known for many years, some of them now. And it's just a really good feeling. It's like,
which is a good
Lord.
Point because, you know, some folks don't have family bloodline members or very many, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's wherever God puts us, that group of people that we're either going to church with or we live with or we work with, those become our fellowship, our group of people that we build relationships with. So God wants us to have relationship with one another, to forgive each other, to work together, to play together. Yeah. And I just want to encourage anybody who's listening, if you do have kids or have grandkids, start some traditions where you get together on a regular basis, or you have family reunions where you get together. If it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, we just had Easter, you know, have those memories with each other.
Make a memory.
Yeah. Challenge yourself to do that. And then just see how the Lord wants to have you be a part of their lives, you know, and they'll be a part of your lives too. But always keep your ears and eyes open for, okay, how could I encourage them? One of our relatives recently, who's getting into the middle age, well, what do you call that, senior citizen age? Golden years? Isn't that what somebody said recently? Said that he kind of sits back and watches, and then he sees what his part is to reinforce.
That's good.
I love that word, reinforce.
Yes.
Since he's had years of architectural work, I thought, you know, he's looking how to reinforce the right things in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, I love that.
How can you reinforce in other people's lives?
And, you know, how can you really put your Christianity to work unless you are connected with people?
Involved with people, yeah. Not always easy. Sometimes you get your feelings hurt, but that's how we grow and that's what we're meant to do. Don't be a lone ranger.
We keep ourselves accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that term, we're not to be lone rangers. The one the enemy picks off first is the one that's off alone by themselves.
Right. So wherever our community is that God puts us.
Yeah. So who's your family? Who's your community?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for those that go to, you know, I've talked to some that have gone to different churches and I say, well, who do you know there? They go, well, there's 10,000 people at our church. We really haven't met anybody. Right. My heart breaks.
Yeah. And if you're new in the area, then it takes a while to build relationships.
Yeah.
So that's okay. But God has a place for you, and you need to start building.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have a place for each one of us and in the family of God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you make relationships within a family that knows you and that lasts for a lifetime. I pray, Lord, that you bless each one of my brothers and sisters listening with a good church family, people that they can live and die with. For we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name, and everyone says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you all.